It's our final message of our series, really, that we've been running here now over Yom Kippur from Kol Nidre yesterday evening. We have a faith which is sometimes unpalatable, from the world's perspective, probably quite controversial. It has a message which this world doesn't like to hear, doesn't want to hear, a message that it rejects. And we, as his followers and believers, are called to align ourselves with our God, align ourselves with this message which he brings out loud and clear to us and to the nations. And it's rather unfashionable. And the unfashionable message runs something like this. This is from Devarim chapter 30. It shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessings and the curse which I have set before you, and you call unto mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and you then repent, return back to God, and obey his voice according to all I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. It's become somewhat unfashionable in these days to preach repentance. Life is good. Tushli. Jonah's city. Not Tushli. Tarshish, thank you. My brain's beginning to go, the blood sugar's draining away. Tarshish calling. Life is comfortable. The money is good. The economy is strong. Rabbi, don't talk to me about repentance. Everything is good with the world. Look at the blessings that we have. But repentance is what we have been called to preach and to talk about. So comfortable are we often in the West that we barely give it a thought, if ever. Even as believers, we think all our sins are so covered. Yeshua covers it all, we think to ourselves again and again in a casual way. But even now, repentance loses its priority, loses its urgency in our lives. As Jews, we can and often do just relegate this time of repentance to Yom Kippur once a year. We think as long as Yom Kippur comes, then we are fine. We have our opportunity, we have our moments to repent, and that is it. For 364 days, we just get on with our lives. We've repented, we're fine, God is good, somehow we'll find our way through. And for 364 days, why worry? And we forget something so profound in our faith in all of this, that repentance should be a daily act. If you stood here doing Shacharit with us in the middle of the Amidah prayer, it talks about the God who receives our repentance every day. Do we think to ourselves that in the last 24 hours, maybe before we did the last Amidah, maybe we've not sinned? Maybe this time we got through. Maybe there was a thought that we shouldn't have thought, a deed we shouldn't have done, or a word that we shouldn't have spoken. This day, Lord, surely I am without sin. What does the scripture say if we say that we are without sin, that we deceive ourselves? Daily, there is the command in Torah to bring a sin sacrifice to the temple. Daily, we bring sin sacrifices, because not a day goes by when actually, either intentionally or unintentionally, without thinking or thought, that we have not done something which the Lord did not want us to do. It should be a daily act. No one is so perfect and holy that you do not need to. No one so sinful that you are beyond repenting either. We are all in that place where repentance should be a regular, daily event in our lives. When we lay in bed in the evening and we do our final Shema, And our thoughts turn once more to Adonai before we go to sleep. Do we spend that moment running through the day, repenting from the things that we know we did wrong? Are we swift to repent? Or do we allow him to take his time with us to nudge us into repentance, to remind us in his Ruach that there are things that we need to put right in our lives? If we wait for his Spirit to work upon us, I can guarantee you it won't be as good as if we do it voluntarily. What we read about here is when you return to the Lord, the Hebrew is shuv, lashuv, from which we get the word teshuvah, to repent. Repentance is returning to the Lord. Is turning back to him again. The scriptures take it as read that we've wandered away from him and we now need to come back. It's taken as granted that the reality in our lives is a wayward reality of coming back and wandering away and coming back and coming back and then wandering away again. If we're honest with ourselves, we know this is our lives. It's a sad reality that we face. It's why we need the visual reminders in our lives. The mezuzah, the lighting of the Shabbat candles, all of these things and many, many more besides, all of them built in to our lives daily to remind us that our lives are not our own. We belong to the Lord. And what we reflect through our days is not always the righteousness of our God. Our lives so damaged by sin, addicted to sin, cause us to daily stumble and fall. And it's a message of repentance which has rung out through the ages. You would think, would you not, when Mashiach comes to us, came to us as Israel, came to us as his people, you would think that Mashiach's only concern would be to say, guys, it's time to party. The good times are here. Interesting that one of Yeshua's very first messages that he brought to his people, to our nation, and therefore brought to the world quite simply was this, from the heading that is set in my Bible, Yeshua begins his ministry. Do you know what the very first sermon he preached was? The very first sermon Yeshua preached in Israel was this, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yeshua was no party pooper. He was not the kind of person who wanted to depress us or knock us down. If his very first sermon said, repent for the kingdom is near, he preached it because he meant it, because it was real. The message that we need to be taking out to the nations, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Yeshua's return is soon upon us. If it was true then, it's most certainly true now. People haven't changed. We haven't changed. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close. And we deceive ourselves if we think we don't need to repent. For 24 hours we have focused upon this one thing through this Yom Kippur, reminded ourselves again and again and again. This is the moment, if not now, then when? Because the end of all of this is in sight with the sounding of the shofar that is to come. If we have even got this far without bringing our repentance to God for who we are and what we've done, said and thought, then now is the time. A nation considered to be righteous, Yisrael, and Yeshua stands in the middle and says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A warning to the nations who do not even know God. If our nation needs to be told to repent, if we need to be told daily to bring our repentance before Adonai, how much more the nations of this world. Teshuvah, turning back to Adonai, repentance demands change. Many of us feel sorrow for who we are and what we are and why we are. Many of us look at our lives and the pattern of behaviour in our lives, and it makes us sad. We may even weep. We may cry. We may even say words which are easy to let roll off the lips about how bad everything is and how sad we are about the way our lives are. That is not repentance. Regret is not repentance. Being faced with the reality of who we are for whatever reason and the damage that we may have caused in other people's lives is not repentance. Repentance is on your face before Adonai, turning your heart out to Him, saying, I am like this. I did this. I caused this. I have caused this harm. And that is even only half the story. Because having faced the reality of who we are and the damage that we cause by the sin in our lives, repentance means change. It means turning back to God and not doing what you did before. Not the next day falling back into the old traps and the old habits, the old speech patterns, the old behaviour patterns, and going on to cause more harm and damage in people's lives. Change is about repentance. We stop doing stuff and we begin doing new stuff that is different from what we did before. That is true repentance. Not enough to say the mere words. Change and a commitment in the power of God to not be like that again. That is repentance, and that is what is needed. There is no point going round and round and round the loop. We do this. We do this. We enjoy the forgiveness of God. That forgiveness is real, but repentance, if it's true, is change. That you will not tomorrow need to go and ask for forgiveness again. Face who we are, realistically, warts and all, and say, this is me. I have caused harm between God and myself. I have caused harm between myself and others. Not a popular message, repentance. And you know why? Because people don't want to change. They don't want to change. How do I know this is true? Because I don't want to change. It's true. I resist change. I resist having my life turned upside down. I don't want to do it. The cost is too high. The personal embarrassment is too high. The risk that people will see what God is doing and changing my life means I have to accept a weakness and a vulnerability that I do not want to accept. Because we can all do stiff-necked, we can all do hard-hearted, we can all do proud. None of us want to be seen in that light. None of us want to see that change. To change means that you were wrong. To change means that you weren't doing what God wanted you to do. To change means acknowledging that your life was not as it should have been. And none of us wants to admit to that. The good news is that genuine repentance is always accepted by God. The scriptures are absolutely clear on this. The person who genuinely repents before God and means what they're saying and sets out on a new path, that person is always accepted by God. And if we mean it, so does He. And His guarantee of acceptance and forgiveness is more gold standard than our words ever can be, because He sent His Son to die for us. the forgiveness could be yours. He did not merely say the words, "You can be forgiven." His words are backed up by the pain of losing his son because of our sins. That is commitment. That's following through. And if forgiveness is truly ours, if repentance is real, then your shame is gone. Your sin is gone. Your guilt is gone. All of it is gone. Like these things never happened. We've said this 2 or 3 times this day already. We need to understand that Yom Kippur and the power of forgiveness and release from the power of sin and the guilt and the shame that goes with it is real. You are free. And if you are free, you are free indeed in the Lord. There is no point going home this evening and begin to pick up those burdens again as if today meant nothing. They are gone. So walk in the freedom that is yours. Repentance is real. Forgiveness is real. It means something on the account ledgers of heaven. Freedom from the past is and can be real. And so many of us are trapped in the past, trapped in the tentacles of what's happened to us and through us, whether it's with parents or grandparents or jobs, situations, whatever it may be, the damage. None of us get to be the middle-aged life that some of us are here. None of us get to be that age without being seriously damaged by life. Some of us barely get through our school years without being seriously damaged by life. But God's freedom is real. And even if it's the sins of others that have impacted upon you and damaged you and locked you and trapped you into behaviour patterns that you feel you can't get out of, the feeling is wrong. God's freedom and release is real, and it is powerful, and it's now, and it happens. In a few moments' time, we'll be listening to the final blast of the shofar. As it will echo round the hall, God's judgment falls, we will be found to be falling short of the glory of God. And instantaneously, Adonai will say, "You are whole in Yeshua. You are redeemed. You are free. You are released. I take your guilt. I take your shame. I take your burdens. You are free now. In the twinkling of an eye, we are released from everything which is holding us back." It's a reality in the spiritual realm which will break forth into the physical if you let it break forth. Embrace what God has done on this day. Embrace it and take it into your soul, into your spirits, and get hold of that freedom and be free now. Be free! There is no point in stumbling along that path of being ensnared and trapped anymore. It stops now. This day you are free. And one final thought on all of this. There is one who is named in the scriptures as the father of all lies. Hasatan will always whisper in your ear, "It's not real." He's lying to you. He's lying to you. He will tell you it can't be true. He will tell you your repentance isn't good enough. He will tell you that your repentance was fake. He will tell you the damage done is too much, too deep, too severe, that you can't walk away from it. He will lie to you again and again and again. And you need to recognize that voice of lies. And you need to reject it in Yeshua's name and tell Hasatan to get behind you and take a hike, because Hasatan will lie to you again and again. I can tell you with confidence right now, regardless of what you have done, if you have repented to the Lord of it, it is forgiven, it is gone as if it never happened. There are people in this world who have done far worse things than any of us sitting in this room right now, and God has forgiven them. because they turned their heart back to the Lord again. And if God can forgive the mass murderers of this world, and he does, if their repentance is real, then he can forgive you and I for the sins which we have committed, even though we feel that they cannot be removed. His forgiveness is real. His love is real. His power to forgive is far greater than anything you have done, even if you have to repent of it 1,000 times. Yes, 7 times 7. 1,000 times, however long it is, there's always acceptance before God's throne. And the enemy will say, you repented of that last week. See, your repentance was not real. Your repentance was real. And your sin was dealt with. But the enemy wants you to believe that you are trapped in sin. You are not trapped in sin. God's power breaks that trap and that snare around our ankles. And if we repent of it, then we are free. And it may be you need to repent more than once. You keep going, because ultimately that repentance will be good. And a month will go by and you will think, I haven't done it. I didn't think it. I didn't say it. Because God's powerful work in his Spirit in us, when we repent, things change. And it may be too slow for us at times, that level of change. But there is always, always change. And he will take us to that final point where it will be dealt with. I've had sins in my life. It has taken the Lord years to deal with. I don't mind admitting it. Years. I wish that they had been dealt with overnight. But he didn't deal with them overnight. My repentance was real. But years later I found that things that had held me, trapped me, ensnared me were gone. Their power was dissolved. They'd gone. And I was free. There's always hope. There's always a fresh start. There's always a day when the sun comes up and you will find that you are free indeed. And while the world is cynical about all of this, you know the truth is, this world deep down wishes it were true. It wishes it were true. Because the people who are trapped in their lives, locked in their cynicism about us and our need to keep going back to repent, to seek God's forgiveness, while those people get cynical, they are watching. They are watching us. Because they wish it were true for them too. They want to be free. The burdens are too great. And in Yeshua, our Messiah, it is true. You know, we can know his love. We can know his acceptance again. And again. And again. And again. And again. And again. And again. But it doesn't stop. Yeshua is our salvation. He is our sacrifice. He is everything that we have ever needed, wanted, required in our lives. His sacrifice is perfect and covers all sin, deals with all sin. If only we knew the truth, the reality of this. I wish, people, that you would remember this sermon, play it to yourselves every day through the next year, that when the lies come in, you remember it is true, you are free, it is real, you are free. But so quickly will we begin to hear the lies again. The power of God is real. Family, it is real. I want you to believe it this year. I want you to start believing it, because it is real. That when you are free, you are free. I want you to believe it. I want you to lay hold of that truth in your lives from now on, from this Yom Kippur on. that you will not deviate from that line. You will know that freedom and you will cling to it. And whatever lies may be thrown at you, you will refuse to believe them because you are free indeed. Because the truth will set you free. It's not lies that set you free, it's the truth that sets you free. And in Yeshua we are free indeed. All we have to do is lay hold of it. All we have to do is repent. All we have to do is mean it. All we have to do is change in Him. Change. And be ready to change. We will listen to the shofar very shortly. I want to prime our minds and our spirits right now. When you hear the shofar blow, when it stops, there will be silence. I want you to know at that moment, I want you to know in your spirits you are free from sin. Don't say a word, don't think, don't act, just stand in God's presence and know. You've done it all. You're free. You're free.